that we have to be in the house of God. There you go. Surprised you, didn't I? Amen. Thank the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight.
Amen.
Let me say that I thank the Lord for everything that you've done for our family. I thank you for the wonderful house that we've been able to stay in. I love the old house that Brother John and them have bought. And I'm a history buff. I'm not a history scholar by any stretch of the imagination, but I like history. And I told Brother John, I said, it's just amazing to me to be able to put your hands on a door facing that somebody else put their hands on 220 years ago. And that's amazing. And just think of all the, just try to imagine all the memories and everything else that are there, that are in that home, and down through the years, all the families have been raised there, all the children that have come up there, all of the Christmases spent there, all of the holidays, all of the birthdays, all of that stuff. That's just amazing to me. And I am thankful to be able to stay there and to stay with Brother John and Miss Christy. We appreciate them and love them. And thank the Lord for them, as we do all of you. And we are so thankful tonight that God let our paths cross.
Amen.
And the only reason that we get to meet and see one another and be a part of each other's lives is because of Calvary.
Yes. Amen.
That's the only reason.
Yes.
Take Calvary out of the equation and we don't meet.
That's right.
I mean, if we do, probably not under these circumstances,
right.
No doubt. But the Lord saw fit to save us and wash us and make us new. And I am thankful for that. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. God never was satisfied. Then said I, of course this is Jesus speaking, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings, and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by new and a living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated, you endured great fight of afflictions. Partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that, after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. But the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That's reading 39 verses, amen, tonight. But I've done that for a purpose. And if the Lord does not change my mind, I'm going to be in this text for the next two nights. And I want to deal with this subject tonight. I'll be dealing with another subject out of this text tomorrow night. But I feel like the Lord has directed me to deal with this subject that I find in the first part of this chapter. And so, the Bible said, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Father, as we come before your throne tonight, we come to you humbly as we know how, asking you once again to anoint what we have to say tonight. Father, not because that we want to be anointed. Father, what we want is you. And Lord, what I would desire tonight is you. And Father, if everything I say tonight is great, I'll give you the glory. And if everything I say tonight's a flop, I'll still give you the glory. I'll count, God, you worthy of all praise and honor and majesty. And I'll magnify and exalt your name above everything else. I pray you to help me do that with your word tonight. And we'll be careful to thank you and praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen and amen. I want to preach, if God will help me, with this thought in mind on this subject. What economy are you living under? What economy are you living under? Or what covenant is a Bible word are you living under? The word covenant, the word economy, and the word testament can all be interchanged. Those are interchangeable words that you can use to one to describe the other. The testament, the Old Testament, we have in our Bibles an Old Testament and a New Testament. We have in our Bibles an old economy and a new economy. We have in our Bibles an old covenant and a new covenant. God has given us a new covenant. Now, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 9 that in verse number 9, which was a figure for the time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ being come in high priest of good things to come by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And so here in this text, in chapter number 9 and in chapter number 10, God is opening up to us the old economy and the new economy. And so many people say, well, Brother David, that's a very simple question to answer. I live under the new covenant, the covenant that God made on Calvary when he redeemed us by his grace. But, dear friend, I want to say to you that we know in our mind that is where we're supposed to live. But a lot of times we act like that we do not live there, that we live under that old economy. And so if I can, I want to take by way of illustration tonight, and I'll not be very long, I don't think, but that's always dangerous for a preacher to say amen. But I don't think I'll be very long, but I want to use an illustration tonight to illustrate a biblical truth to you and I so that we can get a grasp and a hold on what it is that God has really given us as children of God. Now, many times we want to say that we're saved by the grace of God, and Baptist folk are notorious for this, and I can say that because I are one, amen. But 1 John 1:9, the Bible said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, the reason Baptist folk sometimes knock that verse pretty hard is because we got folk just doing whatever, whenever, however, and whatever they want to do, and then running to God. And their idea is, well, it's easier to get forgiveness than permission. But God don't work like that, amen. But the Bible still says that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That has not been taken out of the Bible. That's the new covenant. So this is, I want us to look by way of illustration. I want us to look back to our Old Testament. We're not going to turn there. I'm just going to take you there by memory tonight. But I want us to look at what God done and required in that Old Testament. And he tells us in Hebrews chapter number 10. And so I'm going to use Kayla and Jason as my illustrations tonight. Amen. And so I know they're excited about that, amen. But they're not going to have to get up. You're not going to have to do handstands, nothing like that. And I'm not going to throw rotten tomatoes at you. But I am going to use you as an illustration tonight. And as I do that, I'm going to illustrate to you what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 10. Now, the issue with man and God and the fellowship that they have with man and God has always been an issue of sin. That's always been the issue. There's never been any other issue that stood between God and man. It was only sin. And God has always only had one answer for sin: judgment. That's all God ever had. And so as man sinned in the garden, judgment hovered over him like a dark cloud waiting to break forth and burst forth on him and consume him in a moment of time. So that would not happen, there had to be a substitute for the judgment to fall on. You know what that substitute was? Calves, goats, sheep, turtle doves, whatever it is that God said they had to bring, that's what they had to put on the altar. And when they did that, the judgment of God for that moment in time, instead of falling on that individual who had committed the sin, would fall on that animal. Now, it didn't take away their sin. It didn't do away with their sin, but it did push their sin off for a year. And then the next year, they would come back and have to do the same thing. So, here's my illustration with Jason and Kayla tonight. We're going to say, y'all been married, how many years y'all been married? 10 years. All right, so we're going to say that in the first year of their marriage, the first year of your marriage, you're getting to know each other. He's learning that she don't do everything like mama. And she's learning he don't do everything like daddy. Amen. Can we say amen right there? That's what first year marriage is about, what you learn about each other. Amen. You're your own person. Amen. I remember when me and my wife first got married and we was doing, I don't know, I was working on a car or doing something. And she said, well, my daddy didn't do it that way. I said, and your daddy ain't doing it this way right now either. Amen. I'm the one doing it. I'm the one having to do it. And so what you learn is that she don't do everything like mama did and he don't do everything like daddy did, amen. Whether it's making biscuits or washing socks, amen. They have their own way of doing it, amen. My wife laughing, she knows exactly what I'm talking about, amen. My mama had a certain way of folding socks. That's the way she always fold them. She'd take socks and she'd lay them out like this right here to each other, and then she'd fold the tops up under and put them in a drawer. Well, my wife don't do it that way. My wife takes one sock, turns it wrong side out, puts the other sock, which is turned right side out, and grabs the other sock by the toe and pulls that other sock on top of it. So you only have one sock laying in the drawer. It's really a lot better way of doing it than the way my mom done it. It's just like having one sock in your, you can put a lot more socks in the drawer, twice as many, by doing it that way. So that's a good idea, amen. But she didn't do it like that. And I said, why are you doing my socks that way when we first got married? I said, mama didn't do it that way. She said, well, it's the way my mama done it. It's the way mama taught me to do it. That's the way I do it. And 30 years later, you know what we're doing? Doing it that way, amen. They're all going in the drawer, amen. And so we thank God. I thank God, amen, that the Lord gave me a wife who had a little more brains than what I had, amen. She had a better way of doing it. But let's say for the first year, in the first year that they're married, Miss Kayla is going to make, we're going to say, what's your favorite meal?
Mine?
Yeah, what's your favorite meal for Miss Kayla to fix for you?
Anything.
He'll eat it all. Boys. Lasagna, all right. Has she always made good lasagna?
Yes, sir.
Always made good lasagna. Well, we're going to pretend she didn't know how to make lasagna when y'all first got married in this illustration, amen. So she comes in, and he's wanting some lasagna. And, of course, she being a good wife that's just gotten married wants to please her husband and make him a great meal, amen. And so she works all day. She makes her, gets her pasta. She may even make her own pasta, amen. And she gets and puts her own food in there, makes her own, grates her own Parmesan cheese, and puts her own meat, grinds it up, puts all that in there, puts all the tomato sauce. Maybe she even crushes the tomatoes herself and seasons them and makes her own sauce, her own pay. That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it, amen? She gets the cheese. She's got a cow. She milks the cow, amen, and makes cheese with the cow, with the milk and butter and everything that she has. So she has does our shreds and puts it on there, and she's so proud of it. And he comes in and sits down, and he tries to cut through it, and it's like trying to cut through a cardboard box. As a matter of fact, it should have done better if she just went and bought some Stouffer's out of the freezer at the store and put it in the oven and cooked that, amen, instead of trying to make it. And so he comes in. She's brokenhearted because it's tough as a pine knot. She didn't want it to be that way. And then all of a sudden, Jason, who's had a hard day, he's been out measuring roofs, amen, and he ain't been getting very many jobs. Biggest roof he's had has been a doghouse out back, amen. It didn't take half a square of shingles to do that. And he knows, what are we going to do? We can't pay the bills if we're roofing doghouses, amen. So he comes in, and he's upset about that. The boss is wondering why he's not selling stuff like he should, amen. And he comes in, and the lasagna is not what it ought to be. The sweet tea ain't sweet enough. The ice ain't cold enough, amen. The biscuits are hard. The lasagna's hard. Everything's been hard today. He falls off the handle, and he gets mad and says something he shouldn't say to Michaela. And she's brokenhearted, goes running off to her bedroom crying, slamming the door, amen. He sits there for about 10 minutes, you know, gets his wits about him, finally gets control of his anger, says, you know what, I shouldn't have done that. What he's just done is he has sinned against her and against God. Now I'm talking about under the old economy. So in the nation of Israel, amen, I don't know how in the world you'd made lasagna out in the middle of the desert wandering around for 40 years, but she was pretty good. She tried, amen. Probably turned out tough. It got sand in it. But anyway, he sins against her and against God. So he goes to Miss Kayla. He knocks on the You know, they wouldn't have had a door that had a tent flap. And he knocks on the tent flap, says, "Honey, can I come in and talk to you for a minute?" So he comes in, he sits down, takes her by the hand, says, "I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. Will you forgive me?" "Yes, honey, I'm sorry. Everything just turned out horrible today." And so they kiss and make up and all that kind of stuff, amen. And they do such a good job, they got four kids, amen. So apparently they got everything straightened out between them, amen. Praise God, that's good, amen. And so anyway, but he still has a problem. He's got it right with her, but he's still got to get right with God. So this is what the old economy says. The old economy said there's coming a great day of atonement. And you've got to come on that great day of atonement. And here in Hebrews chapter number 10, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. So here's what happens. Jason loads his little wife up in their little cart. Hey man, they get the little donkey out and they're traveling. They're going to travel halfway across the camp and they've got a tabernacle set up. And they come up. Here's this big tabernacle. There's the outer court, the inner court, the holy place, the most holy place. They see a brazen altar, the brazen laver. They see all of this stuff that's been going on. They see a priest in his garments. And so what Jason comes up. So this is the first year of their marriage now. So he's got to remember the sin he's committed. So we're going to only have to remember just one sin. That one he transgressed against his wife and against God. So he comes up on the great day of atonement and he has to offer sacrifice for that sin. Well, that's wonderful. He goes back the next year. And this next time he comes in, 6 months later, he comes back by, and she's not making lasagna this time. She's trying to make biscuits and gravy, and it's like it's made out of rocks and tomato and toothpaste. It's so thick. I mean, you can't eat nothing of it. And he sins against her again. And he flies off the handle. But not only that, during this time, Caleb's got a little bit of, you know, "I'm tired of this." And so she sins against him and tells him how she feels and tells him off. And now they've sinned against each other, but they've also sinned against God. So the great day of atonement rolls around. Jason loads his little family up. By this time, they may have one little child. They load it up in the little donkey cart. Here they go. They're going to go to the tabernacle and offer their sacrifice. They walk in and they offer the sacrifice. They got to remember that sin. And they got to offer sacrifice for it. Then 30 year olds round, same thing. Back to the tabernacle again. They got to offer a sacrifice for it. 8th year, same thing. 9th year, same thing. Just one sin a year is all we're giving them. All right? One sin a year. So we're up to 10 years. And in that 10 years, the first year she got by, she didn't sin. He did the first year. So in 10 years, he's got 10, she's got 9. They've got 19 total. In 10 years. 19 sins that they have had to come to the tabernacle and remember. And that's what we think, but that ain't what the Bible said. Hebrews 10 said that they had to remember them sacrifice them sins year by year continually. So year number one, they come to the tabernacle. He offers a sacrifice. He gives a sacrifice. The priest makes a sacrifice. The next year they come back. Now him and Caleb both got a sin. So he comes back to the tabernacle on the second year. He has to remember the first year and the second year. He comes back the third year, and the third year, he's got to remember the first year, the second year, and the third year. He comes back on the fourth year and he's got to remember the fourth year, the third year, the second year, and the first year. Year by year, continually, because those sacrifices could never take away sin. Amen. 10th year, one sin, 19. They got to remember 19. The 10th year, they got to remember 9th year, 8th year, 7th year, 6th year, 5th year, 4th year, 3rd year, 2nd year, 1st year. He's got to do that the rest of his life. That's what that Old Testament economy required. Now you imagine living to be, you thank God you didn't live to be 90. And so you go back year after year, one sin. Reckon how many they had to remember, Miss Lucy, in a year's time. And every year they had to go back. Why? Because the sacrifice of bulls and goats, the blood of bulls and goats, could never make the comers, that's them, thereunto perfect. It could never take away sin. Say, Brother David, I would not. I would never go back to that. Well, that's what Paul's telling them in Hebrews. He said, why in the world would you want to go back from what you have now back to what you had before? I don't even, how would they keep up with it? The Bible don't say. But he had to keep up with it somehow. Don't say he had to confess it every year. You understand? Listen to me, that's very important. Didn't say he had to confess it. He had to remember it. So when he stood there that year and brought that 1 year's worth of sins up to be taken care of, he had to remember that year, but he had to remember every other year. So he talks about, the Apostle Paul talks about in Hebrews chapter number 10, he talks about the conscience. He said if they could offer, they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then, if it had made them perfect, listen to what it said, verse number 2, would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. They should, if these were going to make you perfect, he's not having to offer it because he sinned again. He's offering it because he remembers that he sinned. And he said, if it had been possible for the blood of bulls and goats to make Jason and his family perfect, if it had been able to take away sin, then they would not have had to remember that sin. So that is exactly where the old covenant and the old economy was at. Now, but in those sacrifices, again, verse number 3, he reiterates the point, but in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins, plural, every year. Now, when you're studying your Bible, you need to understand that there's a difference between the word sin and the word sins. When the Bible talks about sin, singular, unless it's talking about a specific sin that somebody committed, when it's talking about sin, singular, it's almost 99.9% of the time talking about the old sin nature. When it talks about sins, plural, it's talking about actions in your body, in your members. So he says there's a remembrance of actions committed in the body, year by year, every year, in that old economy. Because there was no perfect sacrifice, verse 4, for it's not possible. There wasn't even the slightest chance, ladies and gentlemen, that the blood of bulls and goats would ever get the job done. Not the slightest chance. Bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering, thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. He said, Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither had his pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first economy, the first covenant, the first testament. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. Before he could ever put in effect the second economy, the next testament, the new covenant, he had to do away with that first covenant. How did he do away with it? He couldn't do away with it by simply writing it off. All the sins of all the ages, all the men, women, boys and girls who had lived and died under that old economy, every single one of them, every sin was still right there where they left it. And he could not just write it off. But what he had to do, he had to walk 33 and a half years perfect before God Almighty and before men and march that perfect sacrifice up to Calvary and lay his life down. The Bible said in Hebrews 10, once for all.
Amen.
But not only once for all, once forever.
Amen.
So now, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I preached this last night, about us being redeemed from the curse of the law. We weren't redeemed from the law, we were redeemed from the curse of the law. The curse of the law is that the soul that sinneth it shall die. If you transgress in one part, you're guilty of it all. We've been redeemed from that. But Brother Smith, there are people sitting on these chairs tonight who Christ has redeemed with a perfect blood sacrifice. He has purchased their redemption. Who have sinned, but have confessed that sin to God. And today, you know what they're doing? They still have a consciousness of that sin. You know why? Because they have the new economy. They can live under that new covenant. But they're choosing to live under that old covenant. And they're remembering their sins year by year. They're continually, they'll go back to God. You confess a sin to God, and then you go back to God again and say, Lord, now listen, I know I've already confessed this. I know I've already forsaken this. I know I've already turned from this. But Lord, I want to repent again. And you can't ever get any peace in your mind and in your heart again. You know why? Because he offered it one time, forever. So I asked the question that I started with tonight. Which economy are you living under? This is what he said in Hebrews chapter 10. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember against them no more. Now, could you read that and tell me which sins and iniquities he said? Which ones? All of them. Past sins. Present sins. Future sins. It's amazing, ain't it?
It is.
God has given us access through the veil of His Son, Jesus Christ, into the holy place. And you don't avail yourself of it. You know why? Because you don't think you're worthy to. You know why you don't come to God and ask Him for what you need? You don't think you're worthy to do it. Why is that? Because when you come to that most holy place and you start to go into that holiest of holies where the presence and the power of God and the person of God is real, you or the devil won. It's got to be one of you. It ain't nobody else. It ain't God. Brings up sin. And right before you step beyond the veil into that holy of holies, you remember it again. And you turn away. And live unfulfilled in your Christian life. Because you are living under the wrong economy. If you have confessed and forsaken sin, the devil may bring it up. You may bring it up. But God will never remember it again. God will never, Never, ever, ever remember that again. And let me tell you the seriousness of it. When you come to God again with that same sin, I'm not talking about if you commit it again. I'm not talking about getting forgiveness again. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you've confessed and forsaken it. You've turned from it. You've walked away from it. God's forgiven you. And you come before God again and try to bring that back up. This is what you're saying. Your son's sacrifice, your son's blood, is no better than the blood of bulls and goats. And we've got people in Baptist churches all over America who are living day by day. They have confessed, they have forsaken, but their conscience has not been cleared. Why? Because they can't turn it loose. But you have got to get beyond how you feel and what you think and realize what that book said, that if you confess it and God's forgiven it, it's done, it's finished, you're free, you're at liberty, praise God, you're able to go on, you can live for God, you can walk with Him, you can fellowship with Him, and you can serve Him, amen. You don't have to go on like you're going, amen. You can get up and go for God.
Amen.
Hallelujah to
Amen.
God.
Praise the Lord.
He said, He taketh away the first that He may establish the second. By the which will? What will? Verse number 9. Then He said, Lo, I come to do Thy will. Talking about His Father's will. By the which will? By whose will? By the Father's will. We are sanctified. It is the will. Listen, the reason you can be saved and sanctified tonight, it's because it's the will of God for you to be sanctified.
Amen.
It's by His will, Miss Lucy, that you're sitting here tonight and you're free and at liberty to serve Him and love Him. It's by His will that He done it.
Amen.
Not by your will, but by His will. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
His purpose and plan is working in your heart, in your life, in my heart, in my life. Why? Because there is a will that is greater than my will. There's a promise that is greater than my promise. There is a purpose beyond my purpose. It is the purpose, promise, will of God for you to be sanctified.
Amen.
It's so much His will that He gave His Son through Jesus Christ, verse number 10. He gave His Son to make it possible. Verse number 14, for by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He hath perfected forever. I don't know how much more plain that can be. We read over this stuff and we just skip over it. We read it so fast we don't understand what it's telling us. He hath perfected us forever. I can't understand that. My mind can't hardly fathom it. I'm amazed that God would save me knowing what I was. But I am overwhelmed that He would save me knowing what I would be.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, me and my wife, when we got married, she married me because of who she thought I was. But I wasn't the man she thought I was. her knight in shining armor, after about 4 years of living with a drunk and a dope head and everything else, the armor got pretty rusty. And if she had known what them first 4 years was going to be like, she probably wouldn't have married me. If she'd had any sense, she wouldn't have married me. But she married me not knowing, because of who she thought I was and who she thought she knew I was. But she didn't know what I would be. But he saved me, knowing everything that I was, but knowing everything that I would be. And yet he still done it, knowing full well what he was getting.
Praise the Lord.
So I'm going to ask you this question tonight. What economy are you living under? Are you still trying to get God to forgive you for things you have confessed and forsaken before Him? And you know what you'll never find? You'll never find forgiveness again. Listen to me. God can only forgive you one time. If you confess and forsake it, I'm not talking about if it happens again. He'll forgive you as many times as you need to be forgiven if you come to Him again and have sinned again. But He can only forgive you for that one incident one time. After that, you are forgiven. I don't feel forgiven, Brother David. I feel lower than worm dirt. I understand that. Brother David, my mind can't comprehend it. I understand that too. But your mind don't have to comprehend it, and your heart don't have to feel it. All you got to do is be able to read that book and believe it.
Yes.
And you can live under the right economy. I'm telling you what, we have it so much better. It ain't nowhere under the book of Hebrews. It's a book of better things. Better sacrifice, better servant, better priest, better sanctuary. All in the book of Hebrews, it's all better. But not only is it better, all of that better, it's a better sanctification. You have He sanctified forever. If you're here tonight, and maybe you have sinned against God, no devil's told you, He'll never forgive you. That's a lie.
Yes. Yes.
1 John 1:9 is still in your Bible. Yes. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God will still do that. The hardest thing you'll ever do is forgive yourself. And you'll probably bring it up, and the devil will bring it up. But the devil won't have to bring it up too much because he knows how weak and frail we are. We'll just keep bringing it up ourselves. But if God's forgiven you, I can forgive you. Do you know that? But if God's forgiven you, this church can forgive you.
Right.
But if God's forgiven you, you need to learn that you can forgive you. You can be free tonight. No more remembrance, no more conscience of sins. It's amazing, isn't it? Father, as we come before Your throne tonight, I pray Your will be done in the heart of Your children. Again, Lord, I am thankful for the liberty to preach the Word of God. I pray that Your will be done in the service tonight. Lord, that we all have had to come before You and confess our sin to you. Father, let us tonight realize that once it's confessed, it's done. That's the only way we'll ever live in victory. The only way we'll be able to go on is when we realize this truth and lay hold of it. Pray that your will would be done now, Lord, in the service, in the invitation, in Jesus' name. Miss Morgan, if you'll come play, whatever you...